that you have to have. If you're going to have a year that's better than the year you've had, then these are things that you're going to have to add. And I'd like to tell you that I've got all these nailed down in perfection, but the fact is that these are things that you have to work on. And so this morning, turn with me in your Bibles as we begin this process of having the best year. When I say the best year, what I'm going to talk about today will save your marriage. What I'm talking about today will save you doctor bills. If you don't want to have as many doctor bills, then listen to what I'm fixing to say. If you don't want to have health problems, emotional problems, physical problems, then what I'm fixing to tell you is the most important thing you will ever hear in your life. And you're going to think, well, I already know this, but most of the time you don't. And so this morning, as you turn with me to the book of Exodus, the 16th chapter, and the 23rd verse, we're going to begin this morning. Exodus 16, and beginning at verse 23. I want to speak to you on the Sabbath day. The Sabbath day. That phrase or that word has been changed and transferred. Whole denominations now consider themselves different because we celebrate the real Sabbath day and we don't do it on this day and that day. And it's all so out of context and so out of whack now that we have, as a society, missed the Sabbath day. And because of it, I can tell by my praise band this morning, they're not ready. I could tell by you this morning, they weren't ready. We are people that are perpetually tired or trying to pull through or trying to get enough energy to get the next thing done. And I think to myself, it's because we miss it. And because we miss it, we try some other alternative. And because we try some other alternative, we end up getting even tireder than we're supposed to. Now, I'm going to talk very seriously this morning. I'm not joking this morning. Because what I'm trying to do is save some of your lives, along with mine. So in Exodus, the 16th chapter, verse 23, let's read. And he said unto them, this is that which the Lord hath said. Tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. Bake that which you will bake today. And seeth that you will seeth, and that which remaineth over lay up for you to be kept until the morning. Keep us going. We're going all the way to the 30th. And they laid it up till the morning as Moses bade, and it did not stink, neither was there any worm therein. And Moses said, eat that today, for today is a Sabbath unto the Lord. Today, got to go back. I'm not reading that fast. Let me just read from my Bible. And Moses said, eat that today, for today is a Sabbath unto the Lord. Today you shall not find it in the field. 6 days you shall gather it, but on the Sabbath day, which is the Sabbath, in it there shall be none. And it came to pass that there went out some of the people on the seventh day for to gather, and they found none. And Moses said, the Lord said unto Moses, how long refuse you to keep my commandments and my laws? See, for the Lord hath given you the Sabbath. Therefore he giveth to you unto the 6 day the bread of 2 days. Abide ye every man in the place. Let no man go out of his place on the seventh day. So the people rested on the seventh day. Now here's what happened. Moses had taken the people and the children of Israel out into the wilderness. And out into the wilderness, they were needing food and they were needing God to provide for them. In fact, God had set up a scenario where they had to rely on God. There was no way they were going to survive in a desert unless God provided for them. And so God did. He did it through a thing called manna. And in this thing called manna, every day they would go out in the morning and they would find it. It would be laying on the ground. It would be just laying there, just pieces of it. And they would gather it in little baskets and gather it up. And then they would go and bake it or mold it or eat it or however they would need to do to prepare it. And then when they had done this, they were told to throw what was left away. Because they said the next morning, if you don't throw what's left away, you're going to find in the morning that it's full of worms. It's going to rot. So every night it rotted. And then came the days that God said, listen, I'm fixing to establish something in this. On the sixth day, I'm going to not only give you double manna. I want you to pick because I'm going to overflow enough for you to have enough. And not only that, but there's going to be a miracle in it, in this, is that on the seventh day, normally the manna rots after 24 hours. It rots every night. But on this time, when you bake it and you fix it and you prepare it, it will last through the Sabbath day too. It will last 2 days. Now this was hard for those people, because at first they weren't sure even that there would be enough the next day. So some people, when manna first started falling, they would go out and pick some extra and think, well, in case it doesn't come tomorrow, I've got some. Well, those people were surprised because they would get up in the morning and find that it had all rotted and that there was worms in it, and they would think, oh, I should have just listened to God. And then when God made another covenant and said, you're going to pick it on the sixth day, and it's going to last 2 days, they thought, well, now that's not going to happen. It never lasts 2 days. It's never lasted 2 days before. And they pick extra. And not only that, the next day on the Sabbath, some of them, just because it was natural to them, they got up and decided, we need to go pick up some manna today. And they went out, and the Bible says they couldn't find any. None fail. Nothing. There was no specific blessings. And I want you to see what's going on here. God is trying to establish a covenant with them, a rule with them, and it goes like this. I will provide for you for 6 days. And in amongst those 6 days, I will give you excess. And the excess is so that you can rest on the seventh day. It's not so that you can keep accumulating excess. It's not that you can say, well, I got some extra time, or I got some extra money, and now I can do something extra. No, no. The excess is so that you take 1 day and you do nothing but rest. Because if you try to do anything on the seventh day, if you add anything to the seventh day, my blessing will never be upon it. It will never come from me. It will always have to come from you. It will always be your effort, your energy, because God says 6 days I do it. And seventh day I do absolutely nothing. Nothing. And He said, this is a covenant that I'm going to give you. And so the people rested. Look at the person beside you and say, rested on the seventh day. If you could get this, we'd have half the less people fall asleep in church. Some of you would actually show up this morning and be able to sit forward instead of... But your problem is that you're so out of kilter in your life. You're so out of ordinance with God that you don't have the energy this morning. You don't have in you what's necessity to be able to come and actually concentrate and focus on God. The thing I want to do, it's not that you're waking up this morning saying, I don't want to do this. It's that I want to. I'm just tired. I want to. I'm just so wore out. I want to. I just don't have the energy. It's not an accident. And I'm going to explain some things to you about the Sabbath that maybe you don't know. And maybe hopefully by understanding this, it will help you in the context of changing your life this year. I want you to have the very best year you've ever had. And if you're going to, this is the very first thing you are going to have to add to your life. You are going to have to make it a priority, and it's not playing. Number one, let me explain this about this Sabbath day. It is number one, it is a commandment. It is a commandment. Way before David Letterman had his top 10 list every night, God had a top 10 list. And in God's top 10 list, if God said there's 10 things I want you to start off, 10 things that I want you to make sure is in your life, in that top 10, number 4, because when you go to your Bibles to Exodus 20, beginning at verse 8, let's notice what it says. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days thou shalt do what? Labor. And do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath unto the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work. Thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath and hallowed it. Let me see if I can get you to understand this, because if we try to look at it just on face value, you would look at me and say, I try to do that, Brother Lott. Well, let's look at it this way. 9 of the commandments we take seriously. 9 of them we take seriously. The 10th one we don't. And we think that that one really doesn't matter. Let me show it to you this way. If I was to call them out to you, and let's just skip number 4. Tell me how important they are. Do you believe that we should have no other gods before our God? Just answer, yes or no. Yes. No question. Do you think we should have no idols other before our God? Do you think there should be no idols in our house and no idols before God? Do you believe that? Yes. Shake your head. It'll keep you awake. Yes. Do you believe that you should never take the Lord God's name in vain? Yes. Okay, let's skip number 4. Do you believe that you should honor your father and your mother? You believe you should give them honor? Yes. Do you believe you should not lie? You believe you shouldn't steal? How about killing? You believe you shouldn't kill anybody? How about commit adultery? Don't think you should kill. You say, no, I don't want to commit adultery. It's just, no. I know what you're saying. Yes. We don't believe in committing adultery. How about covetousness? Do you think you ought to covet everybody else's stuff? See, you don't have a problem with none of them, but what about this? You need to take 1 day off a week and do no work. See? You don't believe that one. No, that may be the day we slow down. It's the day we do our work from the house. It's the day we catch up on some work that we ain't had time to do. But our problem is that we don't take serious. Now, think about it this way. My Sabbath is Monday. Most everybody knows that. I don't answer the phone. If you die on Monday, I'll catch you on Tuesday. I'm sorry, it's my Sabbath. I don't even carry my phone with me. If you catch me, wonderful. But I'm not looking for you on Monday. I usually leave it in my car or it's dead and I just don't worry about it. It's my Sabbath. And so you get mad about that. Well, I can't believe you. You know, he won't even answer his phone. I get that all the time. I can't believe it. I try to call you, you wouldn't even answer your phone. Would you like for me to commit adultery? Is that what you want? You want me to commit adultery? You want me to go kill somebody? Well, you're asking the same thing. You're asking me to kill somebody, commit adultery, lie to somebody, steal from somebody, or come off of my Sabbath. Which one do you want? They're all God's top 10. Every one of them. To kill is just as bad to come off my Sabbath. So when you're saying, Brother Lott, I really would like for you to do this today, you're telling me you'd like for me to kill somebody. See, we don't use that one the same way we use all the other ones. We're not talking about anything important, Brother Lott. No, we are. We're talking about your very life. We're talking about the fact that some of you can't even come to church most of the time and keep your eyes open. And it's because you do not honor God on the fourth commandment, which is, it is the Sabbath unto the Lord, and you are to keep it holy. Would you like to have the best year of your life? I'm trying to teach you how. It is, number one, it is a commandment. Ten Commandments You say, Brother Lott, you know, that's Old Testament. That's not, it has nothing to do with my salvation, and you're right. I've preached that very clearly. You're not saved by the Ten Commandments. Ten Commandments can't save you. They're not, quote, laws that you have. But now, answer me this. Do all of those either have consequences or blessings? Now, I'm not saying they're a law. I'm not saying you got to do it. I'm saying if you don't, do they have consequences or blessings attached to them? Yes, they have them attached. If you do it, if I don't commit adultery and I do live my life with my wife, and I, then you know what? There are blessings that are coming in my life. If I commit adultery, guess what? There are curses coming into my life. And just like with any, if I lie, if I steal, if I kill, guess what? It works the same way with this one. I don't have to do it. You can look at me this morning, bro, I ain't got time to take a day off. Then fine, understand that there are consequences that will come because of it. Your marriage, your life, your job, your health, your physical ability, everything, your body will start falling apart. Then you'll come up and take the time off and ask for prayer. Heal me, Brother Lott. Pray that God will heal me so I can go back and do what I'm doing. It is a Sabbath day. Number two is this. Not only is it a commandment, but it is your greatest witness for God. Turn in your Bibles to Exodus 31. Let me show you something. Exodus 31, verses 14 through 17. And you shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is holy unto you. Everyone that defileth it shall surely be put to what? To death. For whosoever doeth any work therein, thy soul shall be cut off from among his people. 6 days may work be done, but in the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whosoever doeth any work in the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Therefore, the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their, what? How long is that? Forever. For a perpetual covenant. How long is that? Forever. It doesn't end. Verse 17. Therefore, he brought unto them the king of the Chaldeans, who slew their young men. No, we're going Exodus 31, 17. Exodus 31, 17. Aaron. Where therefore the children of Israel... It is a sign between me and the children of Israel for forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day He rested and was... Now this is a theological nightmare for theologians. What does the last word say? Who was refreshed? God. How does the omnipotent God, who is never tired, never worn out, never... How did He get refreshed? Notice, it is a sign, but it is a sign, or another word for that, it is a testimony between me and the children of Israel. Here's what would happen as a testimony. Imagine you were doing business with a Jewish person, an Israeli, and you were to tell them, look, I'm flying in on Saturday, and we'll finish this contract. And then the person on the other side says, I won't be there Saturday. Well, you got to do? No, I'm off Saturday. Well, that's fine, and I'll come up and we'll sign the... No, you don't understand. I'm off Saturday. What do you mean you're off? Well, it's a covenant between us and God. What do you mean a covenant between you and God? I mean, it's just a work day. No, you don't understand. It's a covenant between us and God. God in 6 days made the earth, and He rested on the seventh day. And therefore, He has created us to, in 6 days, do our work, and on the seventh, take a break, to do no work. because it signifies how the earth was made. It signifies who made it. We didn't just arrive. We didn't just get here. God Almighty made the earth. God Almighty designed the earth. And God Almighty organizes the earth. In fact, if you want to make it scientific, just do this. You can literally go to science now and they will prove to you that land, when it is given 1 year rest every 7 years, it produces more than it would than if you plow it every single year. And the number is ironic. If you do 6, it don't work. And if you do 8, it doesn't work. It's every 7th year it blesses it. Every 7th. God designed the earth in such a way. And when you're testifying that, listen, even the earth understands this. Even the earth knows it's time to take a break. How come you don't know it's time to take? And when you're witnessing to somebody and saying, listen, I don't work today. Why? Because God will bless me enough that in 6 days, He's going to bless me so that I don't have to work on the 7th day. I can rest because I know that God will supply abundantly above on those 6 days what I could try to do in the 7th. That's what tithing is all about. When I give my tithe, why do you think I do it? Because of this one reason. It's because God can do with a 90 in my hands what I can't do with 100 in my hands. See, some of you think you can take all 100% and bless yourself. Well, good luck. Keep doing that. But I have realized that I can give God the 90 into His hands. Get the 10 in the church. And God says, Tim, I'll take that 90 and I'll bless it. Your tires will go further. Your engine will last. I'll open doors. People's going to buy you lunch when you didn't have lunch. Just watch. That little bit of money that you thought you were going to save, don't you worry about it, Tim. I got that covered in spades. I'm going to take care of everything. Doctor bills, you would never have to pay. Things you, when I get to heaven one day, God's going to say, you know how much interest you collected? You know how much, look at here, look at all the stuff I fixed. You know how much that would have cost you, took you, take, but because you were invested in me, I stretched what you had. That's why I give to God. And it's also why I take a Sabbath. Because I'm a testimony to the world that God can do more with that percent than I can do with 100%. Some of you think you need all 100%. That's why you don't give properly. And that's why you don't live properly. Because you really don't trust God. You want to have the best year you ever had? Look at the person beside you. Say, do you want to have the best year you've ever had? Not sounding much fun now, is it? And think about it. It's not sounding like fun. And all I'm telling you to do is take a day off. But it sounds like, because in our human minds, it's so contrary that God would do that we fight it. That's why God made it a commandment. This word refreshed, understand what it means. It doesn't mean that God had to lay down in a hammock and take a break. The word refreshed there means to breathe or to take breath in. Think about what God had done for 6 straight days. When you talk, what do? You breathe out. For 6 days, let there be trees, let there be light, let there be this, let there be that. God had been speaking for 6 days, speaking for 6 days, speaking. In fact, even when He created you, what is the last thing He did once He created you? He breathed into you and made you a living soul. He breathed out. So on the 7th day, God does this. God breathes in. Just like when you breathe in, it's like, oh, it refreshes you. God had been for 6 days. It's amazing how even the prophets even understands Moses. Every part of the Bible is so intricately connected that even it's connected to the breathing. It even remembers God's breathing in. And when He finished the work, how awesome is that? I mean, He don't miss any part of anything. But after 6 days, God breathe in. And this was a testimony. This is how they would teach cultures. This is how they would teach other people who they were and their differences and how to believe in their God and the God. Because why? Your maid servants couldn't work. Their hired servants couldn't work. People who came into town that day couldn't work. The town was shut down. If you went to a Jewish community, it was shut down. There was no cooking going on. No fires. All the cooking was done on the 6th day. Extra cooking so that everything was pre-done, pre-ready, pre-made. It was all ready. How many of you would like to, before even your Sabbath day, go ahead and have Whatever you need, the sandwiches, everything laid out, everything done, everything. And on your sixth day, on your Sabbath day, you rested. Because you think of how much actual rest you get on your Sabbath. In between all the house cleaning, the cooking, the doing all the stuff you do, and all the other work, the catch-up work. Number three, God is not playing. Go with me to Numbers 15, 32 through 36. I know I'm losing you, but that's fine. I'm trying to help you. Numbers 15, 32 through 36. And while the children of Israel were in the wilderness, they found a man that gathered sticks upon the Sabbath day. Oh man, you're talking about a criminal. This man was a stick picker-upper. He was just walking around just on that day, just picking up sticks. And they found him and gathered sticks and brought him to Moses and Aaron and unto all the congregation. And all the congregation brought him without the camp. I think we skipped a verse. There we go. And they put him in ward. They put him in jail because he was picking up sticks. They put him in jail because he was picking up sticks. Because it was not, verse 34, boy, y'all moving fast. Y'all keep. Because it was not declared what should be done unto him. See, they wasn't sure. I know he was picking up sticks. I know it was a Sabbath day, but come on, he's just picking up sticks. I mean, come on, Brother Lot. I just needed to check in the office. Come on, Brother Lot. I just needed to. Come on, I had some stuff. I mean, it's not that serious. Because they didn't really know what should be done with him. Verse 35. And the Lord said unto Moses. Notice now, Moses and him didn't really want to do this. They were like, man, how are you going to kill somebody for picking up sticks? I mean, the guy's not doing anything bad. He's doing something kind of good for today. I wish he'd come over to my house, pick up sticks in my yard. The man shall surely be put to death. All the congregation shall stone him with stones without the camp. And all the congregation brought him without the camp and stoned him with stones, and he died as the Lord commanded Moses. Look at the person beside you and say, God is serious. Why is he so serious about a guy picking up sticks? Why is he so serious? Because God loves you. God loves you. And when he sees you dying, when he sees you aging before you should be aging, when he sees your bodies breaking down before they should break down, when he sees you mentally exhausted when you shouldn't be, emotionally exhausted, God says, I have to fix this. And to you that may seem like he's mean and he's cold and God does. Why won't God just let me do? Because God loves you enough to know what's going on in your life and knowing what's going on in your body. And he says, I'll stop it if I have to kill you to do it. People ask me, well, Brother Lot, if you say it's our Sabbath, and I get questions about Sabbaths all the time. A lot of times they say, well, what can you do on the Sabbath? What can you do on the Sabbath? Really the question is, what can you not do on the Sabbath? It's not what you can do. That's where we like to attach it to. Well, what can I do? It's really what you can't do. You cannot do work. You cannot, on the Sabbath, do work. I don't care what you got to do. Leave your phone in your car. Whatever you got to do. Unplug whatever. It's not about what you can do. It's about what you can't do. Think about how society has changed. Years ago, Sabbaths weren't so hard for people in the 1500s, 1600s, whatever. And I mean, even if you were going to get a message, it could take days before a message would get to you. The letter would have to be written. Somebody would have to get in some kind of buggy or on a horse and get it to you. Could be months. One of my favorite ministers, his wife found out he died 6 months after they done buried him. Because he done sailed off to England and died in England of pneumonia, they buried him there. By the time she sailed there 6 months later, he had already been in the ground. That's the way life was then. But then all of a sudden we got the phone. Now when the phone come along, it wasn't too bad because, you know, it was on a cord, and if you was out of the house or away from it, I mean, if you was in the car or something, you used to enjoy the car. Hey, let's go get in the car and take a ride. That used to be the big thing on Sunday afternoons, and people would say, let's get in the car and take a drive. What did that mean? Why did they want to get in the car and take a drive? Why? Because we're away from every distraction. We're away from everything bothering us. And we're just going to get in the car and just drive and look at the scenery and talk while we're in there. And then we started missing things. And since we were missing things, we either needed to stay close to a phone. And we needed to get closer. You know, we needed to make sure. We tried to put as long a cord on them as we could. And we did everything we could. And we came up with a unique invention that helped us. The answering machine. Oh, now I didn't have to worry about it. Because even if I wasn't by my phone was still taking important messages. So I could still take my drive in the car, I could still go, I could still enjoy, and when if I got home and there was an emergency, I could fix the emergency. But then that wasn't enough. We got stuff going on 24/7. You got to always, things change on the, and so we created cell phones so that now no matter where I'm at, I'm always at work. I can be sitting at my dinner table eating lunch with my family, enjoying lunch, and all of a sudden oh, this is important. Now if I go riding with my kids, all three of them are in different seats. We're not talking. My wife is checking Facebook. My sons are playing games. Are you starting to understand what I'm talking about? You wonder why your life, your marriage, your homes, it's because you don't have Sabbaths. And without Sabbaths in your life, you are not only breaking commandments, not only losing your witness, but you're dealing with a God who is not playing. Let me say it to you this way. Do you know there were only three things that you could be killed for? You know, we always talk about, well, they were stoned for this and they got stoned for that and people got killed. Do you know there was only three things in the law that you could actually be killed for? One was adultery. One was dishonoring your parents. That's why you hear parents say today, if you don't act right, I'm going to kill you. Because that's a law. You know what the third one was? Breaking the Sabbath. There was adultery, dishonoring parents, and breaking the Sabbath. These were the three biggest ones that God said, if people do this, you kill them on the spot. They can pollute, they can destroy a whole city, a whole family, a whole generation by not doing this. Number four. Now, people will ask, well, Brother Lott, what about an emergency? Jesus answered that. I'm a pastor. If somebody does die, I'm joking. If somebody does die, and I have to go deal with that. If somebody's rushed to a hospital, a car wreck, I'm headed that way. I have to adjust my Sabbath sometimes. We're not talking about emergencies. I'm not telling you. It's not a law, per se. It's not a law that you got to be so rigid, I can't comb my hair that day. We're not talking about that. We're talking about of it being of the heart. We're talking about of it taking it serious to the point to where, look, I don't look for anything. I'm not trying to do anything. Even Jesus said, listen, if your donkey fell in on the Sabbath, fell in a pit, would you not help the donkey out? Come on. He said, if somebody got it stuck over here, would you not help? He said, we're not talking about emergencies. We're talking about getting up that day and deciding, okay, I got stuff I got to get done today. No, you don't. You don't have anything today that you have to get done. They add up, number four. Go with me in your Bibles. I'm hurrying. 2 Chronicles 36. 2 Chronicles 36. And them that had escaped from the sword carried away to Babylon, where they were servants to him and his sons until the reign of the kingdom of Persia. Now this is talking about when Babylon came and took away the children of Israel. But why do you think all of that happened? And why did it last so long? Why was it not 10 years or 40 years? But God said it's going to be 70 years. 70 years you will stay in captivity to Babylon before you will come back. I want to show you something that probably you don't know. To fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, until the land had enjoyed her. For as long as she lay desolate, she kept. To fulfill 70 years, or 70 years. Therefore he brought upon them the king of Chaldeans, who slew their young men with the sword in the house of their sanctuary, and had no compassion upon the young men, the maiden, the old man, of him that stooped for age. He gave them all into his hand. Verses 21. One more time. 2 Chronicles 36 and 21. To fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, until the land had enjoyed her Sabbath. For as long as she lay desolate, she kept Sabbath, for until 70 years. For 70 years. I want you to know this. The way it was meant to be by God, it was set up this way. For 6 years, they were to plow the land to grow crops. The 7th year, they were to grow no crops. The land was to rest. And I don't know when it started. I don't know where it began. But somebody decided, look, I got too much stuff. Look, if I can get another crop in this year, I can get some stuff done. If I can get another... And these people, Israel, decided to go 490 years. Every 7 years. For 490 years, they went and did not keep the Sabbath on the land. Until God said, that's enough. You're going away. Until the land itself. Think about it like this. God has sat there and God has said, 7 years. And He's got a big white chalkboard and He says, you owe me a year. And then He went 7 more years and God said, you owe me another year. And when God finally reached 70 marks on the board, He said, that's it. I'm calling in the marker. You are fixing to go to be in prison. You are going to go into slavery because you're getting off this land, and I'm going to give the land its Sabbaths. The land will enjoy her Sabbath. And they did not come back to the land until the land had what? Enjoyed all her Sabbaths. If God cares that much about the dirt, how much more do you think He cares about the fact that when He watches your life and you're like, I ain't got time to rest today, and God says, you owe me one. Oh, you owe me another one. How many marks is on the chalkboard of your life? Because here's the thing, God keeps count of every single Sabbath you don't keep. If he keeps up with the land, we always say, well, he knows the number of my hair. Yeah, and he also knows the Sabbaths you don't keep. And that's why a lot of times when we go pray, Lord, I need you to heal my body. And God's like, hold on. No, what you need to do, really and truly right now, you need to quit your job and you need to go sit down because your body is not going to get right for about 6 straight months. It's going to take about 6 straight months for your body to get right. Because you owe your body that many Sabbaths to catch up with all the rest that you haven't given it. That's why some of us, if we take a vacation, we come back still tired. We come, you know why? Because on our vacations, we ain't even coming close to the Sabbaths that we've burned. And we think, well, if I take 3 days off, or I take a long weekend, I take this, that'll fix everything. And notice this, it doesn't last. Some of us come back just as tired, if not tired, than when we left. Number five, the Sabbath was made for your benefit. Everything I'm saying here, God did not make it so that it was to be a drudgery to you. He made it because it was meant to be a blessing to you. Go with me to Mark 2 and 27. I'm wrap this up. And He said unto them, the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the... See, if you're religious, you get it mixed up. You start thinking, well, God created a Sabbath day and we are to obey the Sabbath. No. The Sabbath day was not made and then He made you. He made the land and He gave the land a Sabbath. He made your bodies and He gave your bodies a Sabbath. I'd like to tell you this morning that I have this down pat. But those of you that know me know that I'm probably fighting this or fighting at this worse than anybody you'll ever meet. I didn't come this morning to preach down to you. I came this morning to tell you that I live this on a perpetual day. My life is extremely busy. There's never a morning I don't have something that is laying on my plate. It started, I should have learned this a long time ago when my uncle was setting me down. And I pick about when my uncle sat me down and told me the things and told me, Tim, you got some flaws and we need to work on these flaws. And one of the flaws he mentioned was, Tim, you procrastinate. You promise too much. When he says procrastinate, it's not that I promise and don't do it. It's that I just promise. Hey, I get that. I know I've got at least 30 more minutes added. Yeah, I'll just cut this one short and I'll get to you and I'll get... It was that I thought there was no limit to time. And I promised and promised. And then the weight of trying to keep up with all the promises. Anybody know how that feels? That was what he was trying to teach me. And if I'd been smart when I was a young man, I would have got that at that point. I would have started integrating that into my life. I would have understood as though God was trying to teach me Sabbath, Tim. And I'm like, Lord, I'm resting. I'm doing good today. I'm just going to just take a little bit over here. And then I'm taking the rest of the day off. I just got one little thing to run and take care of, and then I'm only going to work a half day, and then the rest of the day, I just promise, I'm just going to sit up there on the couch. I never quite got it in my head. And then when I got married and started having kids and started pastoring, because I didn't have it right and I didn't have it figured out right, I remember going to the doctor, and I started to have physical problems. The doctor said, here, get on the treadmill. Let's see what you got. Let's see what you can do. I didn't make it a minute and a half on the treadmill. Buzzer already went off. He said, oh, you can stop. And I've seen these guys, you know, get on it and they run for a while, you know, and the doctor's like, oh, you're dark. I was on it for a minute and a half. He looked at me and said, you got 5 years. He said, you got 5 years. You'll either have a stroke or heart attack, you'll be dead. Your body is falling apart. And I rearranged some things. I tried to take it as seriously as I could. I did the best I could. You know, you still got a pastor and you still got a be a dad, and you still have to be a husband, and you still got to do all the responsibilities. And I'd start trying to, I'm going to take some time here, and I started doing vacations better, and I started... I remember on some of my vacations, I'd get on my motorcycle and drive all the way back from the coast to preach, and then drive all the way back that evening. Those were my vacations. Don't worry, did nobody complain about it. Nobody's going to complain about you not working. And then we started 4 years ago this building program and everything, and I knew it was going to take a lot out of me. We fasted and prayed and got ready for it, but I still had not got my life. 3 years in, my body started having enormous problems. Started having shakes, and I couldn't control the shakes, and my body was starting to revolt on me. I told the board, I said, "Look, something's got to give. I'm falling apart." If you look at me, you wouldn't think it. I get up every day. I pretty much work with most people on the ground. But my body was, it's like, look. So we decided to try to fix it all at one time. Ain't that what we do? Take a vacation? Well, me, the doctors looked at me and said, "Look, you got to take some serious time." Now, I was supposed to take about 6 to 9 months. I took 3. Because that's about all I could afford. I mean, it couldn't take no more than that. Church would fall apart if I took longer than that. So I crammed it into 3. I tried to take rest and motorcycle trips and everything, and it helped a lot. I lost my shakes. I felt a lot better. And then come August, I jumped back in. And I'd like to tell you, but man, I've done really good. I got a life coach who I have to talk to twice a month. I have to call and give account. And I like to tell you that I do good, but I lie to him. He's a sweet guy. He is. He's a good friend of mine, but I just lie to him. I mean, you don't want to tell somebody the truth about stuff like that. How you doing, Tim? Doing fine, man. Don't you say that? How you feeling? Man, I feel fine. I need a little rest, but I'm doing good. How's everything going? Going good, man. Church is moving right along. I knew just how to say everything to make it. You have 4 tanks in your life. 4 tanks. You have a mental tank. You have a spiritual tank. You have a physical tank. And you have an emotional tank. Most of the time, most of my tanks were the physical. My emotional and my spiritual were always the ones that I tried to guard. My mental and my physical were the two that, like, some days are like, "Look, I can't take no more." You ever get like that? This was the first time in my life that all 4 were bottoming out. All 4 were just bottoming out. And over the last several months, I've tried desperately to try to get this back into, but there's always something on a Monday that I need to run up here and check and do, and something that's got to be done. And hey, we're doing sod today, and I'm like, well, I'm supposed to rest today, and hey, we need your help, and I'm up here, and I'm... Before long, there you're right back to what you do. I'm telling you this because in 2014, I want to do better. I want to be healthy. I want you to be healthy. And it's simple. It's not even complicated. It's not even like you got to think about it. You just have to 1 day a week take a Sabbath. Mine is Monday. I work on the weekend, so I can't take a weekend. If you hadn't noticed. But you have to find that day. Well, what can I do, Brother Locke? Can I play golf? Can I go fishing? You can do whatever you enjoy. Except for this. If it puts you in financial difficulty or it takes away from your family, you can't do that. In other words, I can play golf as long as it ain't substituted from the time that I'm supposed to spend with my family. And if it's costing me $100 a weekend to play golf and I ain't got $100 a weekend and I'm going broke playing golf, then you can't do that. Find something that doesn't injure you financially, that doesn't injure your family, and you enjoy. If you like to cook, then cook. But if your job is to be a chef and you know the days off you're trying to come up with new recipes, no. What do you do on your day off, Brother Locke? I clean house. I know that sounds crazy, but it's therapeutic for me to sweep the floor. I enjoy that. I enjoy throwing the clothes in the washer. It ain't like I have to wash in my hand. If I did that, it'd probably work and I probably wouldn't do it. But it's not that hard to separate reds from whites and things and chunk them in there and just throw some washing machine and go to lay down. That's not that complicated. People talk about, I do housework all day. Look, it ain't quite what it was in 1950. It still takes time, but I enjoy that. Why? Because that's totally different from anything that I have to do. Now, I like to fish if I get a chance. I like to go play golf if I get a chance. But I enjoy just, I may lay down for a little while. I may just listen to some gospel music on the radio. I may sweep a room. I may look through old pictures. But I just kind of piddle around the house. Phone stays in the truck. I try to get you all day. Look, I didn't want to commit adultery today. I tell you all of this because if you want to have the best year you've ever had, like I do, you're going to have a Sabbath. I don't mean to take three Sabbaths a week. Some of y'all got enough Sabbaths. My kids' Sabbath is Saturday. That's their Sabbath. On Saturday, I don't have the TV. I usually let them just get the remote. And if they get up at 10 o'clock or whatever, they just kind of piddle around and eat cereal late and everything. Why? Because they've gone to school for 5 days. Taylor has to play in the band on Sunday, has to do all this. He works and the kids have to be here. Caitlin's laying down right there listening to me. They have to do church. They're commanded to do church as part of their life. So Saturday's the one day that's their rest day. That's their rest day. When is yours? Or do you have a specific Sabbath? I don't know how to end this. It's God's commandment. He's very serious about it. But He's not doing it to hurt you. He's doing it to help you. And I don't want you to watch me have a heart attack to show you how not to live. So I'm just going to preach it now and I'm going to change. Is that okay? Will you stand? How are your tanks doing? The Sabbath is to help you fill your spiritual tank. For a lot, I don't feel as close to God as I used to. Can I tell you, dragging yourself tired to church didn't fix it. But a lot, my mind, I just feel like, I just can't ever get my mind clear. And I just always, physically, Brother Lott, I just feel like, can't seem to get enough rest. Emotionally, Brother Lott, I mean, Lord, the other day I was just driving down the road and I just started crying for no reason. I don't know why. I'm just emotionally done a wreck right now. Lord, help me. Give me strength. He's probably going to tell you the same thing he told me. Tim, take a day off. Tim, take one day off. Well, Lord, I'll just do a little bit and then I'll go. No. Tim, take the day off. Some of you in this room know what I'm talking about. You're hard workers. You're overachievers. But listen to me. Take it from an old man who's a workaholic. Take the day off. Father, I want my people to have the greatest year they've ever had. And we think when we say that, well, I'm going to have the best year, I'm going to work harder, I'm going to accomplish more, and God would go about it all wrong. Thank you for working with me through these years. Thank you for helping me understand this and help me through the Holy Spirit to hold fast to it. I'm not there yet. I'm not perfect on this yet. I'm not where I want to be. But I ask you to do this. And I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. So if somebody asks you about pastor, here's what you just tell them. You say, look, Monday is his sabbatical or his Sabbath day. Friday is his day off. That's my day off. That's not even my... And then I work Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Saturday, and Sunday. You need me, you can usually find me somewhere close by. Get it fixed in your life. We'll deal with the next one soon.